This month features the Kathy Kalik Bluegrass Band, October 19th, 7:30 p.m. at the Reedwood Friends Church in Southeast Portland. Kathy Kalik is an award-winning singer-songwriter, having received a Grammy and international bluegrass music accolades. Her five-piece band features more IBMA winners, including local fiddler Annie Staninetz, a former Emerging Artist of the Year. Portland Folk Music Society concerts in November will bring the Honey Whiskey Trio and Legends of the Celtic Harp with Patrick Ball on a special pre-holiday program. PFS presents concerts monthly, now through next May. For more information, go to the website, kboo.fm, and look on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
This is KBOO Portland. Coming up next on Stage and Studio, they feature the U.S. premiere of Hurl as a season opener at the Korb Theater. KBOO programming is made possible by KBOO member listeners and PD Expendables, stage and studio supplies. PD Expendables specializes in sales and rentals for film, photo, and theater productions, featuring lighting, paint, grip tools, and more. More information is available by phone at 503-887-5880 or online at pdexpendables.com.
My name is Joseph Gallivan, and you're listening to Stage and Studio on KBOO Port. I'm filling in this week for Dime Roberts. With me in the studio today are Clara Lise Hillier and Heath Juan Houghton. They're currently appearing in Hurl, a play at New Expressive Works on now through October 28th. Thanks for coming into KBOO.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So I saw the play last night. Congratulations.
Thanks.
It was very enjoyable. We should say it's a small theater with about, 100 seats?
Less than that. I'd say between 50 and 60.
Okay. And you walk in, it's you're all on one side on bleachers. The floor is AstroTurf. The actors are already out. They're kind of stretching, getting ready, playing with their hurley sticks. So this play is called Hurl, and it's based on the Irish sport called hurling.
Mm-hmm.
So could you just tell us what hurling is?
Yes, hurling is an Irish sport. It's kind of similar to lacrosse, field hockey, rugby, football. It kind of has all elements of that. There's a wooden stick and a ball, two teams, and basically there are rules, but a lot of things get to slide by. So fouls are allowed if a ref doesn't notice.
Is that right?
It can get a little violent. You do wear helmets to protect your faces, but it's essentially you can pick up your ball with your hurling stick, you can bounce it, you can only walk with the ball in your hand for 4 steps, and then you have to do something with the ball. So you have to pass it to another teammate, or you have to bounce it back onto your hurling stick, which is really hard to do.
Mm-hmm.
Like balancing the ball on the hurley stick is a
hard
skill.
It's kind of a 3-foot-long stick with a flat club head.
Yeah.
So you can run and tap it.
Yeah. And there's nothing really keeping it on the stick. So
right.
You're just
no edge.
Bouncing it, and it's a lot of skill.
I'd also, yes, 5,000%. Lots of skill, a very challenging skill. I'd also add that there seems to be such a strong national identity tied with the sport of hurling, which is where the playwright Charlie O'Neill kind of takes the script, is in examining that identity in connection with this sport that is so beloved by people of Irish descent.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So this sport, it was kind of revived in the mid 19th century as
mm-hmm.
a kind of nationalistic thing. It was like, we're not going to play soccer or rugby, we're going to play our own sport.
Mm-hmm.
And it's
hurling.
So the premise of the play is a group of immigrants in modern Ireland. They're kind of bored, they're in a refugee camp, and they've learned to play from a priest in Ireland, and they get together and say, can we join the local club? Of course, the local club leader does not want them because mm-hmm. they look different, and because it's always been a nationalistic thing where they don't want anyone else unless you're a local. So that's the setup.
Mm-hmm.
Now, just in terms of, you know, what's on stage, are people playing the game? You know, tell the listeners what they're going to see.
They see symbolic versions of hurling games. So the show, the hurling sections sequences are highly choreographed, mm-hmm. and there's a mix of a variety of things. There are specific hurling moves that are incorporated, in addition with more free-form movement that is that has been devised through a very lengthy rehearsal process. So much of what you see is a combination of those things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there is a ball on stage, but you don't use it, correct?
No. What we decided, we kind of went back and forth, and a ball is called a Schlitter. And so,
oh, yeah. It looks like a baseball, right?
Yeah, it is, but it, you know, it has a little weight to it. And we used it a couple times, and it's so unpredictable that we were also like, what if it goes into the audience or hits an audience member? Or we can't control a ball. We don't know where it's going to go on the stage. So we started practicing with an invisible Schlitter or ball. And then it was just about tracking where the ball went, who has it now, where is it going to get to. And then kind of late in the rehearsal process, Cynthia, who plays Rusty, and myself, who plays Lofty, we decided that we would be the only ones holding an actual Schlitter. And we use it more when we're coaching, kind of as, for me, kind of like a nervous tick. So it's there for me, and it grounds me in my character, and it kind of helps when I am coaching, I'm tossing the ball up and down, but when I'm not coaching, I put it away in my pocket, and I'm focused on my teammates or dealing with Lofty struggles. So, it's kind of fascinating because we're playing that game of make-believe, and I mean, that's what I love about theater. It's all make-believe.
Yeah, I just wanted to add that, you know, I think that if we had given a lot of focus to learning how to manipulate the ball, that certainly could have been achieved, but that wasn't, it was about the storytelling. And one of the things that I love about not using a physical ball during most of the sequences is that that only reinforces and highlights the theme that we are telling this story as a series of, as an ensemble of people. And I really appreciated that mm-hmm. aspect. I also just wanted to add, Rusty's being played by a wonderful actor, new actor in town named Cynthia Scherpetz, and she's a comic genius. Mm-hmm. She's mm-hmm. so much fun to work with. Yeah.
So tell us the main characters. You, Clara, are probably the main character.
I guess.
You're a drunken priest.
I am.
Recently defrocked.
Yep. Lofty, I think, has always dealt with alcohol and those issues, traveled around the world ministering. He met two of the characters that we meet, Musa and Ahmed, when they were young boys in Sierra Leone, and he taught them hurling as young guys. And then he's here in Ireland. He comes back. He's no longer a priest. Musa finds him, and they're all here, and they want to learn the sport. And I say no a couple times. I don't want to do it. That's in my past. I'm done with it. They go to Rusty to get permission on their own. And then we have kind of a confrontation, little battle of, well, I'm going to join and I'm going to help them.
Right. Well, Rusty is so obstructive that they sort of give up until you show up. Is that
right? They start to, but I think they're also determined to do the sport regardless. They have to get people on the team. They get free membership. They're very tricky, and they get free membership from Rusty. And they hold a public meeting to see if there's anybody else in the community. And they're really just trying to show the community that it's for fun, it's to do something, because otherwise they're just sitting day in and day out, not allowed to work, not allowed to leave, waiting to hear on their asylum status. And why not do something active and exciting and enjoy your life while it's an endless waiting?
So they're refugees, but they're in a refugee camp, right, in trailers? Mm-hmm. Is this meant to be Dublin?
Yes, they are indeed. And it's interesting. The play doesn't dwell too much on that, except to kind of establish the circumstances at the top. Mm-hmm. Lofty really becomes, in my opinion, of the script structurally, a bridge between Irish audiences or the Irish community and these immigrants. So much of what we see and understand in the play as audience members is through the eyes of Lofty experiencing that this wonderful hurling team. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yeah.
So Lofty is the priest.
Yeah, and yes. Is the bridge for the audience to kind of witness this new thing happening in Ireland. Yeah,
and I think that's the one thing I wish more that we got to see their lives in their homes and why it is such a horrible struggle and why it's just this kind of awful impending doom. And we get glimpses of it, and I know that that isn't the entire part of the story, and I know that Charlie wanted us also to focus on the power of immigrants taking on a game that is not, according to Irish nationalists, theirs, and finding new joy and love in it. But, you know, I think for me, as Clara the actor, I've always wanted to just delve deeper into that world.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's also so interesting because one of the reasons that they want to play is because it is such, the game of hurling is so tied with being of Irish nationality. And it's something that, you know, in many European countries, in many Asian countries, in many other countries, ethnicity and nationality are very tied. And so it's an interesting conversation to see, well, what happens when that identity of nationality gets opened up, when you have an influx of different migrant populations moving into different regions of the world, and then having to adjust or adapt to this new political system, this new structural system that defines you as national or refugee or immigrant. And then how long does it take for you to get to be a national, mm-hmm. a citizen?
Yeah.
And what does it mean when you are?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's a really interesting way. I think that the playwright Charlie O'Neill has used this example of hurling in a really interesting way to mm-hmm. explore that.
Mm-hmm. So the two of the main characters, what are they called? There's a man and a woman who come together from Africa, and they don't back down. They don't play the meek immigrant at all. They have their own power and their own determination that matches this institution they come up against. Mm-hmm. What are those characters called?
We have Musa and then Fatmata. And it's fun because she's really the only woman that we have on the team. Cynthia and I are playing male characters, but we're playing them as males. And Fatmata is the only woman, so she's technically not allowed to play the sport because hurling is for men, and Rusty makes that very clear. But she's there throughout the entire story. She's very spirited. She's not afraid to speak her mind, and she does it a lot, especially to Rusty and to Lofty as well. And then Musa is the one who has the dream of this team. It's because of him. And if he stopped, then we wouldn't have the team.
One of the things that I love about the creation, particularly of the Musa character, is that he fell in love with hurling when he was taught it. And so it's not just a stepping stone or a political thing or a calculated thing. He actually loves to play this sport. And whether it's dance, whether it's pottery, whether it's soccer, I mean, when you have a passion for something, it can just transform you. And I really feel that that's what Charlie O'Neill tried to do with this character of Musa, who's played by the wonderful James Dixon. I really appreciate that aspect of his characterization.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So he has a backstory. Would it be giving away too much to say a bit about his backstory? I don't have to.
It's a little troubled, and he's one of the examples of a character that we get to follow in a more in-depth way. Some of the other characters are quick sketches or only really emerge during the game playing. There are a few glorious and wonderful exceptions, like Alec Lugo's portrayal of a Bosnian. But for the most part, Musa is the most developed of the players.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is wonderful.
It's really exciting to watch because he's the one, he comes and finds Lofty. He knows how much Hurling means to Lofty, even though he's kind of pushed it away for years and doesn't want to talk about it. And his determination, and I think it's that raw love and passion. It just pushes him, and it's his driving force to get a team together.
Yeah, and he really is the one with the most agency in the script because he's the one that makes everything happen. Lofty wouldn't have come on board if not for Musa's influence.
No.
And Musa really does stand up to the Rusty character in a way that the other characters portrayed don't. So he really is, it's really wonderful to get to see that kind of character on stage, blossom and bloom.
My name's Joseph Gallivan. You're listening to Stage and Studio on KBOO Portland. I'm filling in for Dime Roberts this week. I have in the studio with me today Clara Lise Hillier and Heath Hyun Houghton. They are actors in a new play, a contemporary Irish play called Hurl. It's about the game of hurling when it's played by a group of immigrants and refugees into Dublin. So the game itself is, like you were saying, it's pretty violent. People end up getting accidentally hit with sticks or sometimes deliberately.
Yeah.
So in the action, you know, you're sitting there with a sports story and you're always thinking, all right, Cinderella story or not?
Mm-hmm.
Are they going to be rubbish or are they going to magically somehow get really good very quickly?
Mm-hmm.
How did you all deal with that? Is that, were you playing for laughs? Or, you know, because you can play bad sports people as comedy.
Yeah. I mean, it's that thing that we also, none of us knew the sport ahead of time. So I think we were all going to be very bad at it anyways from the beginning. A couple of us have backgrounds in different sports worlds. I used to play lacrosse. Cynthia played field hockey. Alec has played some football. So we all came from varying levels of fitness, I guess. But I mean, if we didn't have the hurling club come in and do training with us and also give us direct consultation, we had a wonderful player from the Willamette Hurling Club.
So there are two hurling clubs in the region. Who are they?
We have Willamette Hurling Club and then the Columbia Red Branch. And we had a player come in, David, and he, thank goodness for him, he came in, he looked at our script with our director, Tracy, and he explained what it all meant. And so when we were like, they pull back, they hit on the jaw, they move this way, and he's like, okay, well, that means this person goes this way, that person goes this way, this person, you know, does a quick run around. What does this lingo mean? Oh, okay, well, that they're talking about this kind of play. And if it wasn't for him, we would have not had many of those choreographed sections because he helped translate them and he helped actually give us visual representations of what it looked like. And I think from there we took what he taught us and then what we also could potentially do in the world of the theater where we're making sure that it's something we can do four times a week for an entire month and that it's serving the story because we're also the entire time that we're playing the games, we are narrating everything that's happening and we're making sure that we're highlighting characters, we're highlighting plot lines, and we're describing to the audience what is happening in front of them. So then we kind of had to find that magic ground between actually playing hurling and then also, like Heath was saying, a more devised, maybe dancer movement friendly version of what hurling looks like.
Mm-hmm. Have you seen videos of the play done elsewhere? How do they choreograph?
There's only one other production that's been done, actually.
In
so
the world?
We're in the world. So okay. We're the second production, and we're also the U.S. premiere. I didn't see any videos of that production. Did you?
No videos of the production, but we were able to watch quite a few videos of hurling, the mm-hmm. sport game being played.
But who did the choreography?
The whole cast and our director, Tracy.
Tracy? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, Tracy Cameron Francis, the director, created a really interesting rehearsal room. All of our ideas were on the table. And it's one of the things that I really think was so unique about this experience for me is that, for better or worse, it's our production. I think that other directors might have come in and said, you move here on this line and you do this on mm-hmm. this line. But we had a whole lot of freedom and creative freedom to get to explore this script together. I think it's one of the reasons why the collaborations between the Willamette Hurling Club and Columbia Red Branch was so influential, because others might have just given some advice, but they really had their sleeves rolled up and mm-hmm. were in the room helping us to create what is actually seen on stage. And I think that's a fantastic and unique collaboration that we don't often see between sports mm-hmm. entities and artistic entities mm-hmm. Coming together to yeah. create something together.
Well, and we went through and, you know, for a lot of the training sequences or the warming up or any of the stretches, we just played theater games, essentially. And we're like, what would this look like if you're contacting or making contact with a person in 3 points? And then they make contact with you in 3 points. And
what
we
does
would,
that mean, 3 points?
We would like use our hurling sticks, and we would approach a partner and hit 3 different ways. And then they would have to respond 3 different ways. And so it was just finding, I think, that freedom of movement, getting comfortable with moving with these hurling sticks, because it's a lot to move around with a full extension of your arm, and then also learn how to respond to a teammate or an opponent, like, which is essential for hurling. So we played a lot of those kind of games and exercises, and then took things that worked, or if we made gigantic mistakes or big fails, which I love as a theater performer. I love huge failure. And
In rehearsal?
Yeah, I love it.
What about on stage, live?
Oh, yeah, why not? It's fun. And then you know, that's why we do live theater, because something goes terribly wrong and then you have to figure out what to do. And you've learned through that rehearsal process, hopefully, to trust your castmates, to connect with them, to find your way back into the story or back into the movement sequence that you're doing, and you carry on. And I mean, that's why I love theater, because it's going to be different every single night. It's exciting. It keeps you engaged as a performer. So, with big failures, we would just laugh and then be like, okay, well, that didn't work. That was awful. Or, okay, that could have worked. What if we did this instead? So that was, I don't know, that was exciting.
No, yeah, and that's where I think that, Tracy Cameron Francis, the director, really had such a discerning eye, because a lot of what we were doing were movement exercises and activities, and then explorations of different sequences. Mm-hmm. And she was really able to pick out the moments that seemed to fit well and create blocking and things from those explorations that really just seem so seamless and so easy to execute on stage. And it seems to be exciting audiences. They really get into watching the game sequences happen. But I also love how there are little flourishes and touches of some of those movement sequences, even in the more staid scenes. So that movement and choreography and symbolic movement really kind of lift this production so it floats in a way, a way that other plays don't. Sorry.
The setup is very minimal. You have these 4 white benches, the kind of things you find in a gym locker room mm-hmm. with the slats.
Mm-hmm.
And that's about it, right?
Yeah, we had benches and then the hurling sticks. And that mm-hmm. is our That's our
scene.
So
you move them around. Sometimes they're goalposts, sometimes they're...
And we basically, the first couple days, luckily, our scenic designer, Kira Sanford, who's doing a lot of design work around Portland right now, she got us those benches like the second day of rehearsal. So we had them from the beginning, and that was our playground. So we spent a while just stacking them, or Heath and I jumped on a lot of them and tried to see if we could balance on them. Or how many can we stack up in the air? Or can we put them upside down? Or how do we build a desk or a couch or goalposts? And then we used hurling sticks to see what we could do with them when we weren't playing with them. So they become, you know, they're used very briefly in a church scene. I use one in a car. We have some TV reporters that use them as microphones. And that was it. And so everything else we had to create through our connection on stage and our movement.
Yeah. So the theater company is called Carb Theater, like not like carbs we all avoid, but C-O-R-R-I-B, Corrib.
Mm-hmm.
And they do contemporary Irish drama. So they've got two more shows coming up, Four Last Things and How to Keep an Alien. That's February and then April next year.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing more surprising than there are hurling teams here is there is a contemporary Irish theatre group here.
Yeah.
How did you get involved with them?
They've been around for 6 years. This is their second full season. I've auditioned for them for a really, really long time. And the world of being an actor, you hear a lot of no's. And so I heard a lot of no's until this year, which was really exciting.
Did you work on your accent or something?
No, maybe that. But it was mostly, you know, you're very often just not the right person for a role for, you know, whatever reason it is.
This and time you're a woman.
I know.
Playing a male
somehow.
Priest.
And it was actually fun because I was... called in for a different show in the season, and I didn't really know anything about the Hurl show. And then I went to that audition, and then Tracy, Cameron Francis, and Gemma, the artistic director, they were like, "Oh, can we call you back for Hurl?" And I was like, "Oh, yeah, sure, okay." And I, you know, assumed ensemble. And then I did the callback, and then Gemma wrote me, and she's like, "Yeah, we'd like you to play Lofty." And the email was, "Yes, Lofty, I mean that." And so I got excited. So it was my first show. And for you, Heath.
Well, Heath, your character is called... Well, one of your many characters is called...
Dong.
Dong.
And he's a Vietnamese immigrant.
But he's sort of raised in Ireland, so he's an Irish accent, and he's constantly dealing with the "where are you from" kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, absolutely.
But he's a funny guy and, you know, very endearing character. And yeah. it's not a big part within what you do, but it stood out to me.
Thank you. That's very kind.
It's your first show?
It is my first show with Carib. I have not auditioned for them in the past. I was contacted by the artistic director, Gemma Wieland, and she asked me if I would be interested in coming in and auditioning for this project, and I didn't know anything about their season. I've known of the company because I've known many wonderful actors and designers who've worked for them, and was just super excited to get to come in and read for this project.
So they must have been looking for they're not looking for traditional Irish-looking big redheads. They were looking for different... ethnicities.
All kinds.
But they also were prepared to have women play the men's roles.
I know, which I don't know a lot about that process, if they looked at men first, because I know there was a reading done with Fertile Ground, and the part was played by a man, someone that I adore and worship as an actor. So I was very much in shock that I would get to do it. It's really exciting. And for Cynthia, who plays Rusty, I know it was really exciting for her as well, because very often that's what we come up against as female actors, is that, you know, those roles are limited.
I would quickly add that there was, as I understand it to be, a conscious choice made not to cast any white male actors. And once both Clara and Cynthia had come in to read, it's my understanding that there was like a eureka moment for the creative team in the room, and so that's just kind of the direction that things ended up going, which I agree, I think is so fabulous.
My name is Joseph Gallivan. You've been listening to Stage and Studio on KBOO Portland. I'm filling in this week for Dime Roberts. My guests today were Clara Lise Hillier and Heath Juan Houghton. They are performing now in Hurl, which is a play by Charlie O'Neill. It's put on by Carb Theatre, and it's on at New Expressive Works through October 28th. So thanks for coming into KBOO.
Thank you.
Coming up next on KBOO, Art Focus host Dominic Amrin, co-curator of the Can Touch This exhibit at Paragon Arts Gallery.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with the requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements for the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. Meetings will be held at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, unless otherwise noted.
This is Cat Meow.
And this is Becky.
And we want to hang out with you.
The Development Committee will meet the third Wednesday of every month at 7 p.m.
We're traffic informed and food motivated. And we're seeking like-minded individuals who want to use their rad fundraising skills and talents to
support the station. Join us.
Hi there. You're listening to Art Focus on KBOO FM 90.7 Community Radio in Portland. Our guest today is Dominic Amrin. He is the co-curator of